I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to the show. This is Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network, and I want to thank you for joining us this week. I am your host, of course, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose. And on the show this week, it is the former RCW Commonwealth Champion, KB6. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm great. Great to be here. It's an honor to be on this podcast.
Well, I'm happy to have you, man.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, like we talked a bit about you when I had TY on.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, because you and TY were partners for a while.
Yes, and he also helped train me as well.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'm from Monster Pro Wrestling. That's when I got my whole foot into the door. But the weird part is there it was a lot of the wrestlers training the other wrestlers. Like,
okay,
they had their one head trainer there, Massive Damage, but he would tell you how to do the things, but like it was the wrestlers actually teaching and doing things. Jackson, you know, being partnered with him, he taught me a lot in the year and a half that we were together. You know, just traveling together, working together, training together. He taught me a lot in the business, helped me understand a lot of things. And, you know, he helped me do a lot of things that I do now.
Well, that's good that they got some talented folks over there, if that's the way they're going to do it. Because, like, I can see, like, if there wasn't any, like, talented people there, it would just be the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were, like, prior to me starting into Monster Pro Wrestling, there were trainers there. You know, like Irishman, like he trained there. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to really work with him. It was just learning with all the other workers and stuff. And I felt a little bad because, you know, they're there, they're trained themselves. But then you have guys like Kato, who's been in the business over 10 years. You know, there was guys like Mitch Clark, Larry, Rich. You know, we started somewhat similar. I think he started a little bit earlier than me, a few months, but he would understand like the technical aspect of it really well and be able to help teach and everything. So yeah, it's very good that they have some really talented workers there, because
the listener's sake, the Mitch that you were talking about is Mitch Clark, who's like a former UFC fighter.
Yes, so UFC, yeah, former UFC fighter, Mitch Clark.
He should know his way around some technical skills, hopefully.
He knows what he's doing. And then there's also Lumberjack Larry, and then Rugged Rich King, and then T.Y. Jackson, of course.
Of course.
Then Kato, the luchador, yeah.
So was MPW where you actually, like, got your start? Because you're from Toronto, aren't you? You didn't do any wrestling out in Toronto?
A month or, like, 3 weeks before I moved back out here, I seen a flyer when I was just walking through downtown. I seen a flyer, and it was for some superkicks.com. I remember that. And I was looking at it. I was like, man, this is really interesting. And they're like, a free month of training. I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna do this. But for when it started, I was leaving 2 days after. So I was like, oh freak. So I came out here, and then I wasn't paying attention to like the wrestling scene and stuff out here. So then I went and worked in a bar, and then during an interview, I met Massive Damage actually. And then he told me they had a school and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, man, you know, that'd be amazing. Like, so I kept his contact info. I had to move around, do some work and stuff. But then once I got back to Edmonton, I started. The rest is history. I went, signed up, got all the forms, and just went in that ring.
Who was your first match? I never regretted since.
My first match was actually against Kid Cyrus and Kato in a triple threat match.
Oh, okay.
It was at the Italian festival. I ended up going over on Kato.
You got a win in your first match.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what the hell? Like, that's what I was like, man, they must have some outs for me or something. Like, coming in, winning. And then I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, there's another, because I was at the Italian festival, this one was at the Alberta Avenues for a tag team tournament. So it was me and Jackson, and I ended up getting the win on there as well. But that night I had to work twice. So I got first win, and then the second match I lost.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's still pretty good. Like, I mean, I don't think I won a match for like the first year of my wrestling career.
A lot of people don't. Yeah. I was very fortunate for that. I was very appreciative. I made sure after getting that win, I was like, I need to make sure my buddy's in the gym and train. And like, if I'm getting these kind of opportunities, I need to be able to, you know, show up and do my thing.
100%.
But then I also learned the year before that, you know, so you can start up high, but then you can go in through some slopes. Because, you know, I had some wins, and then a few months later, I think it was about like 3 or 4 months later, me and Jackson ended up winning tag team titles. And then, awesome. You know, we were doing our things with that, and that was really nice. You know, couldn't have a better partner for it. And it was crazy. Is me and Jackson were the first black tag team champions at Monster Pro Wrestling. It was dope because I went and did the history, and there were not a lot of brothers there before, prior.
I'm trying to think. I'm not trying to sound ignorant or anything, but there's not like a whole lot of black wrestlers in Alberta in general. No. Like
in wrestling overall, like the ones we have now, like if you look back at the roster prior 2010, you could only probably think of 5 to 10 colored people overall in the business, you know, and at like the major level of WWE. Or if you look at New Japan, you know, might see one black dude out there, or ROH, you know, there's a few more. Cause I believe ROH is out based in like Chicago or something. There's a lot of
brothers out
there.
A bit more urban.
Yeah. Of wrestling, that's one thing growing up I would notice. It's like, you know, I'm like, oh man, like I got three guys I can really root. I got The Rock, and then I got Booker T, you know, Taz, but Taz isn't even black. He's just Italian and dark. So like try to like look for the minorities and like, oh yes, that's my hero there. So like, and then you fast forward 10 years. Oh my God, it's such a huge difference. You know, there's wrestlers from all over the world making it to the big scene, all different types of religions, races, just everything overall. And that's really great to see.
Yeah, it's cool for sure.
Getting a lot more shots and chances. And it's not like we don't have to be that token black guy. You know, we don't have to be the black wrestler. We can be a wrestler that's black. Like, and that's one thing that just feels so great about all of this. You know, having all this different diversity and everything in wrestling nowadays.
Do you have a favorite black wrestler?
Oh, it's The Rock.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. Yeah. Do you watch Young Rock?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Oh, check that shit out, bro.
I don't like going week by week for shows. I need to wait for it all to be out so I can watch it at once.
See, it was sprung on me. I didn't even know it was a thing until like the day it was on.
Yeah,
I saw a commercial. I was like, oh, I got to check that out. So I recorded, I watched the first episode. I thought it was fantastic. And I'm eagerly anticipating episode 2.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I'm also looking forward to a couple hours from now when some more WandaVision goes up.
Oh, yes. I'm also waiting for all that to come out because that is not one I can wait week by week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
The first couple episodes, I was confused. But
yeah,
once everything started working out, I was like, oh, okay, now I'm really with it. And I'm invested. Getting back to wrestling.
Yeah,
though,
wrestling, yeah.
Have you had any like issues with racism or anything in wrestling? Like,
little bit. It usually comes off, it's a lot more like ignorant jokes or messed up. Like there was one time, I'm not gonna say his name. He used to wrestle for the company when I was at Monster Pro, and then he left. And then there was one time, you know, we're doing ring crew, taking it all down just so we can, you know, get out of there real quick. Mm-hmm. And this was, we were doing a cell side show. We usually do it at the Alberta Ave. We were doing that Blue Quills or something like that. And one of the wrestlers, or the former wrestler at the promotion, he was like, you know, he's friends with everybody, you know, we all get along. It doesn't matter which promotion we're at, you know, we're all in at the same goal.
Yeah, 100%.
And he just, one of the tie downs, they had like, they're like bungees, and he whipped me with it, and I was like, he hit me once, I like turned, and I was like, yo, who the fuck is this? And he was like, I was like, yo, bro, don't whip me, like, you know, because he'll say some like some dark humor jokes, and you know, they were funny, so I'd laugh, and I never problem with that. But once he like whipped me, I was like, whoa, calm down, buddy, like, just chill out. And he's like, oh no, you know, I'm joking. And I turn and gets me again, and I was like, you need to fuck off, like, I'm gonna fuck you up, I'm not okay with this, like, don't whip me. And then he was like, oh, well, you know, I whipped Jackson, you know, it's just a joke. I'm like, bro, it's not a joke. Like, the bungee wrapped around your throat will be a joke. Don't touch me no more. And then he came, apologized after. I told him, all right, man, you know, just don't think you're going to whip a brother and everything's going to be okay.
So it's sort of this kind of thing where you just had to lay your boundaries down and make that
there's clear. Also, yeah, there's also been, like, times where, like, people just said they tried to perceive it as like a joke, but like I wasn't laughing,
yeah,
kind of thing. It was just overall, what's the point? And then I was really heated. I was gonna come into practice and just lay the smack down on this guy. Like, I heard it at like the end of like teardown, and then I didn't see him anymore for the rest of the night. And I was like, oh hell no. And then I was like, wait for the next week camp. I'd go and I'm like, once I see his ass, I'm gonna whoop his ass. And then I sell this to a couple other people. And then one guy in the company is like, oh no, bro, it's not a big deal. You need to calm down. I was like, no, man, you know, it is a big deal for me. Like, you know, I don't appreciate being called these things and then it being labeled as a joke. I'm gonna show him what's funny. And then I actually ended up talking to my cousin about it, and he's like, I get it, Brandon. Just talk to him first, and then if he don't apologize, then whoop his ass and make sure it's a real apology. I was like, all right. So I went in there, pulled him to the side, and as soon as I pulled him to the side, he just started apologizing and everything. And I was like, I'd feel bad for whooping his ass now, because it's all right, whatever. I was like, don't do it again. And then he hasn't done it again since. So it's. A lot of times there'll be a little bit of hazing, but I played a lot of team sports, and I don't like hazing. I don't agree with it, and I make sure people don't haze me.
Yeah, that's when people kind of like just like
that. Yeah, that's
shitty
when
things to people to try and like initiate you and stuff.
Exactly. Like, you know, you don't want to like don't initiate, because then we can just take it outside the ring. We can be gentlemen and go talk. Or handle it ourselves. More of that. I don't believe in hazing, treating people bad just because they're new to something. Like, I can get it in some circumstances for, like, you know, building the ring. You'd be like, hey, come on, grab this. And then, wow, you're still carrying it. Like, playing other team sports, it would be like, oh, rookies carry the bags. I'd be like, hell no, you carrying your own bags, bro. No. If it's like harmless and it doesn't mess with the other person or demean them, then I could kind of deal with those kind of things. But overall, if it's going to make that person miserable and showing up, no, I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah,
the last thing I want to do is be miserable coming to my workplace.
Yeah, there's a big difference between, would you mind helping me out with my bag here? Versus, hey, greenhorn, get my bag, you know?
Yeah, like, I'll be like, oh, brother, like, if you say that to me, it's just where I come from, you got to be able to throw some hands, or like, you going to try to talk down to me, bro, we're gonna have to handle it, like, something like that. You know, I'm more like, you can't boss me around, because I ain't going to be bossed around, bro. Like, it's not going to work.
That's fair.
Like, I haven't really had to deal with a whole lot of it. There's just certain incidents or like people cracking the little side jokes, and you know, and other times where like me and Jackson, like, we'll be chilling and like we'll hear somebody say something ignorant, and we'll just like look at each other, and he'll give you a look. He's like, Brad, just chill out. It ain't worth it. This ain't the moment. I'm like, all right. He said one more thing though, and he'll be like, all right. He said one more thing, and then usually he'll calm down. Which that's another thing I liked having Jackson around for is. He was a nice, cool head.
He seemed like a really good guy when I had him on the show.
Oh, he's a great kid.
He was, like, that was before COVID, so he was able to come to the house and, You know, we sat down and did the thing in person and whatnot. And I always love when we do those out of town shows like Pinoca, Radway, and we always get a couple of the MPW guys on the show because I really like those guys. You know,
that's one thing I learned. So with I don't want to really shit on him much, but Massive Damage getting into the business, he instilled an idea that every locker room is against you. He made it seem like every other wrestler I was going to meet was going to be an asshole for the most part. He made the RCW locker room sound villainous as hell. Oh my God. But then at the end of the day, like when you go to other locker rooms, you meet all the other guys, we're all really the same when you think about it. Like, doesn't matter, you know, what the beliefs are or anything. You know, we're all here because we love the business. We want to be here. And, you know, what would be the point of just hating somebody else from another promotion? You know, every time you see somebody, like, unless the person's just a dick, like, you can't be like, oh, that guy's definitely from this promotion. You know, they're always assholes or, you know, things like that. It's just like, yeah, we're all men trying to, like, make it. And we have a love for this.
There's
business.
All kinds in every locker room. Like,
yeah,
like every locker room is going to have assholes in it. And every locker room is going to have, like, really good people in it that you would, like, never consider to be a dickhead at all, you know?
Exactly. Like, it's, you know, the locker rooms are always changing. And there's always going to be an asshole around. Doesn't matter where you go. Like, whether you can go to the grocery store, you're going to run into an asshole. Like, they're always going to be the people. But, the whole lot, but like just the one bad apple doesn't speak for the rest of them in a sense. You know, each company usually has about like 20 people on the roster. You might have two jerks on that team, but everybody else are usually really good people, you know, very safe to work with. Like, I haven't had any issues with any workers at RCW. Like, every worker that I've run into has been fine. Like, I've been at least, I feel that way. You know, I always shake hands, you know, get hands shaken, you know, talk to the people. I don't feel like I'm ostracized or, like, even in the RCW locker room, like, there's never been any wrestlers that have hazed me or said any racial jokes or anything like that. Like, it's always been good, you know. Any even slight dark humor, edgy jokes, you're usually hilarious. I'm laughing off my ass, like... you know, I'm very blessed to be at the RCW locker room and be part of this company.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it would be, talking about it now, it would be apropos of us to discuss, I mean, why you left MPW.
Oh, I'll discuss it. I don't mind. Talk about that.
Would you like to publicly, you know what I'm trying to say is...
I'll publicly talk about it. I got no problem.
Okay. All right.
Because I talked about it one other time, but that podcast was taken down. So I was out on the Northern tour with Tony Canelo, and me and Phoenix, we got into some arguments. Now, I don't, like, yell or get into other worker spaces or things like that, but she – also, I'm trying to say, you know, I'm trying not to, like, shit on anybody's name and stuff, but at the same time, I don't want to say things that didn't happen, like, or I should say that, but I don't want to, like, shit on people, but at the same time, I don't want people to, like, they're not the saints you may think they are. But she was irritating multiple people on the tour, to the fact that the other female worker refused to work with her. She was like, I'm not doing it. She was every night with either somebody or something. There's a lot of drama, and when you're on these tours where you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're in a tight core group, morality is key. Like, and you can tell, like, everything would be good, and then, like, she would kind of walk in the room and the whole energy would shift, and then she would just be like, oh, why are you talking about me? And I'm like, well, we're not talking about you. I mean, I was talking about something else. Like, and she would just Bob, there's different things. And then she ended up accusing me of taking money from Tony Candelo because I was working behind the desk at the merch. But when you're back there, Tony tells you you're responsible for the money that's missing, like if there's money missing. And then one of the kids ended up like stealing a couple masks. So that was like $40. I was back there. I take responsibility. If I'm back there and something goes missing, I understand that that's, you know, it's got to come up with pay or something. That was just a little kind of price he had for when you will sell your merch. And so we're out on tour and like, she's been complaining constantly and just trying to say that like money, she was short money and accused me of stealing money. And then, I called her out on everything in front of Tony. And then everything, like she was trying to say, oh, something about her picture. She wasn't, something happened where it was like the count or something. And yeah. Then she was trying to say, Tony asked her, he's like, oh, did you count in front of, you know, my helper here? And like, you know, did you verify? She was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, no. I'm like, Tony, she gave the pictures to me. Cause I went around and made sure everyone had a good space on the merch table. Cause, you know, I feel that's very important. You know, everybody gets a day or 2 days where they're in the best spot and everyone rotates around. So I always make sure I get everybody's pictures early, help set up the merch table. I'm trying to make us all money and, you know, make this go smooth.
Yeah.
Cause I've been on tour where people are like kind of corrupt and screwing things over. So I want it even. So I was like, if I take control, I can make sure it's fair game. Everyone gets good pictures, good positions. And when I told her or told Tony that I was like, no, I took the pictures. She just grabbed the money and walked away and then called me a liar. I was like, bitch. And then, you know, I was like, you know what? I have a show in a couple hours. Let me just go eat some food, relax, go stretch, go do something. Let me just de-stress.
Yeah.
Because this is like the first week out of 20 days we're going to be out there. It was, I don't want to deal with all this. So, you know, I'm just trying to, I had to walk back and I had to go by the bathroom and I had to go by her. And I'm like, I snuck by her like to get there. So I'm like, I don't want to deal with any of this. And then I come back. And she's sitting there on the phone. And then, I don't know, she was talking to somebody. And she's just like, I hate it here. And it looked at me and she's like, I hate everyone here. Me being a smart ass, I just turned back. And I was like, bitch, ain't nobody like you here either. And I just walked away. I was like, you know what, save a lot. I'm going to walk away. I was like, if you go, don't look me in the eyes and say that. So I started walking away. And she comes. And then she starts talking about how terrible a wrestler I am. I don't know psychology. I'll never make it in the business. I don't know anything about the business.
Isn't she like 15 years old?
I think she's like 19 now. She claims she started in the business.
Sorry,
16,
and I'm not trying to bury her either. I don't know her personally. No, I don't think I've ever even spoke to her. I just like, you know,
I mean, a lot of people that see her do think she's like 15 years old. She's a very small child looking person. And then what was I saying? Oh yeah, so she's yelling all these things at me and I snap back. I yell all these things back at her. I bring up things in her personal life.
Oh boy.
I talk about how terrible she was. She really is at wrestling. She's wrestled for about 3 years and I think maybe has wrestled 10 opponents.
We're not here to bury her.
Yeah. Thank you for keeping track. Yeah, so I was going off on her, and then I'm trying to walk away again, and then Massive Damage comes out at like the end, and he's like, hey, stop yelling, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, all right, whatever. And then at the end of the show, he wanted me to apologize to her. I was like, no, I was like, she started it. Like, I'm not doing it, man. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, come on. Like, he's like, you know, you got to be – you know, be the bigger person. I was like, bro, she's literally started all of it. I tried walking away and she yelled. And then, you know, yeah, he's like, oh, who's the bigger person? Who's either be a bigger person, you know, 22-year-old or the 19-year-old? I was like, nigga, the one in the wrong. Like, I'm not, no. And then, like, I left. And then the other wrestlers that seen everything go down, I looked at, I was like, you know, because I was like, you know, maybe I'm just really upset and I'm just being an asshole. I looked at, I was like, guys, like, should I apologize? And I won't mention names, but like I'd say one of the nicest dudes on tour, he's looked at me and said, like, hell no, you didn't do anything wrong. I was like, that's what I thought. Hell no, I ain't apologizing. So then went back, rest of the tour, and it was from then on, there were days where I wasn't working. We were already short people because one of the wrestlers, he was a midget, and it's he was he was very older, so he couldn't actually, like, do stuff.
Okay.
And then you also have the two females that won't work with each other now. So, like, everything's jumbled. And then so we have, like, an odd person.
Are the girls wrestling guys now and the midgets wrestling dudes? Okay.
So the midget actually only came out. He never actually, like, worked, like, wrestled.
Like, so he was, like, a manager or something?
Yeah. He dressed up as it, like, the clown, and he would come out and, like, middle of the match and be, like, a baby face. It was very weird. Okay. I was like, this is, kids are crying, and he's supposed to be a good guy. And I was out there, and my role for some of the nights is I would come out and lift him and, like, lift him onto the ring and then stand out there and help cheer Phoenix on and, like, help her get over and, like, be the manager. I was like, what the hell? I can work. Like, what is this? He's like, oh, no. You know. And then there's one day where, like, I was sick. I was really glad I wasn't working. He's like, oh, no, yeah, you know, we'll just need you for the Rumble. I was like, all right, perfect. Because we were traveling. I think this day we were on the road for like 12 hours. I just wanted to puke. I got road sickness bad.
Oh, no.
And then, like, every night it would either be I'm not working or I'm losing. And then, like, Tony Cadello that day, he's like, are you not a match? I was like, no, bro. Like,
did you talk to that, Tony? Like, is Tony not booking this? Or?
No. So, Bookie, I mean, he had Massive Damage do all the booking and everything.
Oh,
like,
okay. Massive was hot at you because of your interaction with Phoenix.
With Phoenix, yes.
And so he stopped giving you opportunities?
Yes.
To punish you?
Yeah, I couldn't. He wouldn't let me go work. I would just be in the Rumble. And fun fact, even as a villain in the Rumble, I still sold the most amount of merch. Every single night, I sold the most amount. Huh. And I was like, even with that, I was like, I knew in my mind, I was like, this bitch was wrong trying to say I'm not a good wrestler. I'm not over. I was like, this is crazy. And so I end up hurting my ankle one night during the Rumble because it was the other female worker, she was going over. And, like, at the end of the Rumble, there's, like, three guys, and they're all villains. And then the one girl. And, like, it was... So I wanted to make, like, a good pop. When she threw me over, I jumped over. I've never... Like, I went flying. Okay. And I landed right in front of these girls where they're all booing me and stuff. I was like, this is going to be a beautiful moment. So I go, I fly over. But when I land, I didn't land right. I landed on my ankle, like, little iffy. And I didn't notice it till teardown. Like, we took the whole ring down.
That's how it happens, bud.
I was wearing down. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what does my ankle feel like this? Because even earlier in the day, I felt like a random pain shoot through it. Because, like, you're in a truck for, like, 10 to 12 hours. Yeah. And so, like, you can't really move. And then, like, going through, and I felt like a little shoot. I'm like, nah, it's nothing. Yeah, you know, it'll be good. I did that, and then I was like, God damn. Each piece just getting worse and worse. And then at the end, it was just like a crate left, and I'm just struggling. I'm like, I can't take this in. Y'all gotta help me. I, like, sat on a chair in, like, the middle of the gym for, like, 20 minutes. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. How am I gonna shower? I gotta work still. So I was like, all right, you know what? Just hope. Just the next day will be good. You know, just wrap it up, take some Advil, some Tylenol, sleep it off. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Next day, it was a little iffy. I could kind of walk on it. But I didn't want to, because I think we had 6 days left.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to mess it up this day and not be able to wrestle the other days. So I pulled Tony aside. I told him what was going on. Because first he pulled me aside, asked me if my ankle was okay. Because I was doing ring crew, and he's like, no, come chill, sit down. And I was like, all right. So I told him what happened. I was like, you know, I honestly hate to ask. I'm not this type of person, but I can do the Rumble. Because I know I can get myself a 5 minute spot, be first one out and get through.
Yeah.
But so I was like, yo, can I just, you know, not work this one match and then do the Rumble? You know, I can do the emceeing and help you out, do all that all night. He's like, you know, he said normally he wouldn't really want to do that, but he's like, if I can do it safely, and he was a fan of me, so I was like, all right, perfect, I'll do it.
So he didn't even want you in the Rumble.
No, he did not. He was like, you're going to hurt yourself more. And I was like, Tony, I'm not going to, like, if everything goes according to plan, why don't you fucking wrestling?
I'm happy for you that he wasn't like, well, no, fuck you. You better work tonight.
Like, yeah, that's like, Tony is like, some people can tell some stories. Tony is a straight up guy. Like, he understands, like, everything was like cool. So I was like, all right, perfect, thank you. And then so they didn't put any like time or weights on the cards, so I kind of just wigged it, and I it was an exaggeration. Everyone came at a wild number, and I kept going because like the kids loved it. Like I announced like some people at like 300 pounds, 86 pounds. It was a very wide spectrum. Nobody was near the weight that they were given. It was either too much or too little.
Oh, like ring announcer who was announcing the weights was getting them all wrong?
That was me, yes. They didn't write it down, so I just said, fuck it. And I just went with it. Because, like, I wasn't trying to be,
ring
like...
announcing?
Yes, yeah, I was,
So I didn't know you'd ever ring announced before. How did you enjoy it? Did
I'm
you like
an
it?
I'm an amazing ring announcer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm glad you don't work out here in Alberta. Smooth. I'd get
take your job.
Competition, yeah.
Announce myself to the ring. But also, yeah, so me helping him do that, dealing with the merch table, and then going into Rumble, mm-hmm. I was in his good books. Yeah. When I was like doing the weights, I wasn't trying to be malicious or hurt anybody's feelings.
You're just kidding around.
I'm joking. So the wrestlers, when they came out, they're trying not to smile or like laugh at like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
The kids were loving it. Some of the adults, everyone had a smile on their face. So I kept going with it. There were two people who were upset by it. I'm not gonna mention the first guy's name because he told me how he's insecure about his body and things like that. I was like, okay, man, you know, I apologize. I explained, you know, it was just a joke. I, you know, didn't mean to go malicious at him.
Yeah.
He said he felt that way. You know, he just wanted to voice his concerns. And I said, you know, I appreciate it. I'm very sorry. It'll never happen again. You know, because like that's. You know, again, like when I say like I don't like the hazing, like once I the little bit of hazing where it's like, okay, the jokes, but like once you realize somebody's upset at what you're doing, you got to stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to keep the morality and everything up. I was like, okay, sorry, blah blah blah. We shook hands, everything was good. And then Tony came, he talked to me. You know, he told me, he's like, don't do that, you know, you piss people off. You know, just what the hell's going on? I was like, all right, my bad.
I mean, I can see, know, like,
yeah, I got a little promo on me
when I was when I was ring announcing. Like, most people would always like, I'd always have their weights, but once in a while, like, it just for whatever reason slips through the cracks, and you don't have the guy's weight, and you just have to guess. Like,
yeah,
you know, like they're walking to the ring, and I've straight up been like, oh, he looks like he's probably about 230 pounds, so that's what I announce him. You know, like,
yeah. You know, that's fair, but like, you know, you probably like trying to figure it out more. While me, I was.
Yeah, I wasn't doing. It wasn't
500 pounds.
No, it wasn't ridiculous stuff. I wouldn't make ridiculous claims like, oh, no. Homeboy's like,
yeah.
Oh, he was 3 tons.
Yeah, but
maybe squig. Like,
maybe. Yeah. So like, you know. I'm just there, and then, you know, he gets the promo and stuff on me. I was like, okay, my bad. You know, we shook hands. Me and Tony shook hands. I told him, you know, I'll be way more professional about it. I'm sorry. I just went with the crowd. They were liking it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, I'm thinking that's the end of it. I looked over, and Matt Stanley, he was upset for, like, the last couple days. So I was like, okay. I seen him off, like, you know, in the corner, just chilling there, doing his thing. I was like, all right, you know. I didn't know I upset at him because, like, he would be one person that has said a lot of racial jokes, and I'll put jokes in quotations because they were never funny. I would fake laugh just so I didn't get the belt taken from me and things like that. So with him, I figured he would be able to take the joke. He dishes out, like, some messed up jokes, quotations. So I'm like, yo, if you dish it out, you gotta be able to take it. You know what? You know, like, if you talk a joke about someone, somebody gonna talk a joke. Like,
it's
that,
also like,
you know,
if you're the promoter, it might be in your best interest not to, just to avoid those kind of like.
Yeah, like, yeah, but there's, yeah, but at the same time, it's.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't
yeah.
there. It's just. Yeah, just like,
I mean, you would think
be smarter. Like, 2000 and like, even at that point, it's well past the age where racist jokes are kind of acceptable, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I didn't think he got upset about it. So I get out there, you know, I emcee everybody, and then I come out at like last, and then I'm kind of, I'm on one leg, like hobbling, but like I'm like hopping my way there. But like I have my tassels on, I'm a jacket, tassels, everything. So like I was twisting my upper body. So like the kids were just looking at my tassels. They couldn't realize I was on one foot. Yeah. So I get in the ring and they're like, I realized, like, I'm like, this was not the best idea. Like, I'm grabbing the ropes. And, like, the adults definitely knew there was something wrong with me in that ring.
Okay.
So, you know, I talked to a couple guys. I was going to go get one guy, and then somebody else come dump me. I was like, this is going to be perfect. You know, I get, like, 5 minutes. You know, I can still do a little show. The kids will be happy. First one to eliminate, I'm fine with that. You know, I see Massive, you know, across the ring from me. You know, I was looking at him. I was like, man, this man is in character. He looks like he's going to rip the head off everybody in here. So my dumbass, I start flexing across at him. I'm like, what you got? You know, I'm way stronger than you. You just ugly. I'm like, and then he didn't say nothing. He just stared at me, chilling in the corner, leaning. Oh. Just, I was like, I'm like, something's wrong. My spidey sense started tingling. I was like, this ain't right. And so I flex one more time. So I'm like, yeah. So I get the kids. I do a big flex. I'm like, what do you got? I'm thinking he's going to flex off or something. Mm-hmm. He just looks at me. He's like, 450 fucking chops. Because I announced him at 450 pounds. So this was his way of saying he a little butthurt and got a little upset. He a little sensitive off that.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, as soon as he said 450 shots, I was like, oh, he butthurt. I got to get up quick. As soon as the bell rang, I couldn't run. I was trying my best. I've never seen that drug before. It was a very horrifying scene. He's a big boy. So he starts running at me. I'm trying to like run across. I got like two steps out. He grabbed me, threw me in the corner. Fucking lays all the chops in. I'm like, all right, I guess there's gonna be a chop off. And so like I start giving him some overhands. I'm just going ham on him. But yeah. Then I realized so Massive, he started doing this like the last year of me working with the company. Underneath his singlet, he wears like this girdle to like keep him looking thin. And it has like a half inch of padding on it. So like that's what I'm chopping. I'm going in, trying to lay it all in, and I just there's nothing. He just stands there, and I look, and I'm like, oh, like my hand hit the zipper a couple times. I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, why? You're a grown man wearing a girdle padding. Like, okay. Bro, what are you doing? And then so like, I give him a bunch of chops there. He just grabs me, gives me more, and then I start giving him some forearms. And then he's like, is that what you got? I was like, oh, motherfucker. And then he gets me in court, gives me some more. I was like, all right, like,
so did this break down into like a shoot? Is that
this wasn't, yeah. As soon as that bell rang, he turned this into a shoot. Like, when he gave me those chops, I was like, all right, I gotta give him some good ones. And then I laid them in, I gave him everything. But that pad, I was like, oh, God, that pad saved him. And then he's giving me forearms, and then like, grabs the back of my neck, starts like giving me some. I break out of that, I grab him from the back. And I'm like, I'm just saying, fuck it. I'm going to knock his ass out at this point. I just grab, I cup the back of his head. I'll go give him an elbow. And I just crumbled. I threw all the weight. I forgot my leg was messed up. I crumbled. I fall to my knees. I'm at his waist. And this is, you know, him coming into the business, you know, he's my trainer. He was my mentor. Mm-hmm. I worked with him. So I worked with him for a while. He was my boss. He was, you know, outside of wrestling, we were friends. Like, if there is somebody where I trusted when I'm hurt, yeah. Even if we were both angry at each other, to like be able to be like, okay, get him out, it would be him. So I'm down, and then his pain shot up through my shin. So I dropped down, and I couldn't put any weight on. So I hold him, and I'm like, yo, my ankle's fucked. Get me out. This motherfucker grabbed me back of the neck, just started chopping me on my back, and then kicks me down, and I'm on the ground. He just puts his boot and just starts stomping on my head. So I'm just having to push it off. He's just going, and he grabs me. He's like, you want to get the fuck out? Throws me out, and then just like the way I had it planned before, I had it easier where I was basically going to be a slow push out and a bump.
Yeah.
He just tossed me out, and it's either laying on your feet or you're going to face plant. So I land on my feet, landed on my bad ankle. I dropped down.
Yeah.
Referee Justin Garber, God rest his soul, he tries to pick me up. He's you know, he's great spirit, but
he's just pretty small, little guy.
He's pretty small. He's a skin and bones, man. And he tried to pick up my fat ass. So I was a thick boy at the time. I was like 238. He tried to get me up, and he's like, do you need help up? I was like, nah, I got this. I took a half a step. I drop. And then the kids, they're like, are you okay? Like, the kids.
Did you have a broken ankle?
No. It was just a big, severe sprain.
Oh.
It was I've had rolled ankles, sprained ankles from like football and basketball, but this was probably the worst. Yeah.
Ankle injuries are brutal. I broke my ankle in a match with heavy metal.
Yeah, and then you also wrestled on it.
The next day.
Tough bastard. I couldn't do that. Oh my god. I couldn't even do it with a sprain.
I mean, I didn't know it was broken. And I was like, you know, and
to get through that pain though, that's not something everybody can do. I don't think I can do it.
No,
but it's like, I feel like a tough guy, but I can't do that.
Like you described earlier, you didn't feel the pain immediately. Like,
no, I didn't.
When I broke my ankle, like we continued wrestling for another 5 minutes. And
I didn't
feel anything, and it was all fine. And then, you know, like it was like later on that night, I was like, oh shit, this sucks. And then the next day it was like, oh, I can't walk on this. And then I got to the show and I was limping, and
wrestling.
It's like, oh, I guess I got to take a bunch of, like Tylenols now just to try and dull this pain enough so I can get through this. And yeah, so. It was a thing. So you ended up hurting your ankle real bad.
Oh yes. So yeah, just he ended up somewhat carrying me, but like he was still struggling, and like I had my full weight on him, and so there's no barricades or anything. So like the kids, they're like trying to like they're grabbing me by like my tights and try to keep me up. I just started grabbing the top of their heads like I was like it was a cane and using their tiny bodies like, to get me through. I was like, get the fuck out! As soon as I got back behind the curtains. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I made it a step. I just collapsed, crawled over. Like, people had to walk over me to get back. Yeah. A lot of people. I was, like, Tony, he was very upset. He was like, what the fuck's going on? This is why I didn't want you to wrestle. I didn't want you to get hurt. I was like, man, everything would have been good. You know, talk to your boy. Like, he messed up the game plan. And then I'm down on the ground, and then I was very close to tears in that moment. Like, there's a lot of pain just shooting because it was just the throbbing and just everything. And so the one person that was upset about me for me announcing the weights, he actually came. He helped me take everything off because he said if we go to the hospital, they're going to cut everything off.
Yeah.
I only have 1 cent, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
So he had to take off my shin pad and then, or my kick pad.
Yeah.
Pulled that off. And then I had my foot was taped. So he had to take the tape off, undo the shoelace, and then underneath was also taped. So then he had to take that off so he can actually get a look at it. It didn't, thank God it didn't turn purple or anything quite yet. Like it did like later, like on the end of the tour, there's like a slight little tinge to it. But what scared me is when it turned a little yellow, and as a black man, my skin has never turned yellow, so that worried me. Because like purple, you're like, okay, you know, this is bruised, you know, red, you know, that's a little bad. Yellow, I didn't know what the hell that meant.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god, I was really freaking out, and then it would go up my leg and stuff, and and then when we're in the trucks. Your foot's just down on the ground. You can't elevate it, so you can't heal. So then it's just pain constantly. As I was like laying down, you took everything off. Like, I started like biting down. I didn't even realize like my cheeks, like they were like they stopped. They're like, Brandon, stop. I was like, what? And then there's just blood dripping from my mouth. So Lumberjack Larry gave me an apple to bite on. That lasted 2 seconds. I bit through that two chunks, spat it out. I took a towel, I just wrapped it in my mouth. I said, we're ripping this all off right now. One of the most painful moments, definitely, like in a long time. Like that was not fun. But there was no, and then when I got back and got checked out, there's no long-term injury.
When like Massive comes through the curtain, does he like apologize or?
No, so what Massive did is he just walked over me, grabbed his gear and left because we're in a classroom, we're in a school, and then it led right to the gym.
clearly you felt like he took liberties with you.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Is that like a feeling, like, is, were the other wrestlers there that saw this go down, like, were they thinking,
oh yeah, that yes, cool yes, there was
either?
Yeah, there was, cause like he also took his anger out on another wrestler, because there's one worker there that during every Rumble, he'd yell out butt kicking party, and he would kick everybody in the butt. I don't really like comedy spots, but that was hilarious. And the kids loved it. And he was babyface. Oh, yeah, it's perfect. He did that, and he did it massive, and massive brought him in the corner and chopped the hell out of him. And, you know, I after that whole situation, you know, I was injured, I'm laying down. I had some non-healthy thoughts going through my head, some cynical things. And then some workers to talk me out of this thing, calmed me down a lot. So I was like, all right. Brandon, we don't want you going to jail. I was like, yeah, I can get away with it. But Brandon, calm the fuck down. Like, chill out. Get some sleep.
Yeah, it's too bad that it came to that. It's like,
I was like, man, it was very rough. I'm so grateful for everyone that was on the tour there, from helping me out. The female worker, she went off and she cooked my dinner for me. A couple of the other guys, they went, helped me get into the shower. I got in there. I was like, hey guys, it's gonna be this chair. I'll be good. Let me do the rest from here, please. And then, like, they, like, caught me, like, trying, like, I don't want to say walking, but, like, I was using, like, the chair as, like, a walker, trying to get through the gym. They're like, Brad, somebody fucking idiot. Come here.
Yeah, grab me. I can see Lumberjack Larry being, like, yeah, knocking off.
He's like, Lumberjack, he was one of the best. He was one of my best friends on that tour. He helped me out so much.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone there was very supportive, very helped me out. So I was very blessed in that moment. I was still really upset, and I did feel very betrayed. Because I was like, what? Why? Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
This is so, no. And then I realized that night, like, I told a bunch of the workers back in Edmonton what was going on and stuff, because it seems that there was a bit of a similar pattern that whenever a worker would leave, it was always on them, and they were a piece of shit, and there was nothing else. But then you talk to the worker, and you find out the rest of the story. You know, there's always three sides to the story. There's his side, the other guy's side, the truth, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, let me get my side. He's going to say their fucking side, and the rest of the workers, they'll know the truth, because they see it without any biased opinion. And so I went, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so yeah, I went on Facebook that night, it's telling all the workers. And then, well, not all the workers, but, like, my homies kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their little core group, and, like, you know, I was telling them what's going on. Some people were just telling me, like, oh, it's sleep when you get back. I was like, ah, man, I got planned. I was going to stay for a little bit and then, you know, finish up a little bit of storylines. Not for the company, but more for the fans, because I feel the fans, they deserve it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing this for. Like, you know, we're trying to make money and we're trying to please the fans. That's our two goals.
If you were involved with TY and stuff, you don't want to leave him hanging.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, I was in a feud with him and everything. You know, we had our storyline and we wanted it for a long time, you know, built up to it. And it was from, so yeah, and then I messaged him and I realized I wasn't on the worker page anymore. Oh. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, this is weird. So then the next day, we roll out, and then we actually almost go through the ice lakes because there is a wrong turn, and I just woke up, and then we are skidding around, and the van behind us gets put into the water. I was like, what the fuck? And yeah,
did anybody get hurt? There,
no, thank God. Nobody got hurt. Nobody's gear got destroyed. And we end up getting the van out.
Oh, good.
Because it was like the front half. And then with our truck, we went off and found, like, the RCMP, we got RCMP and then we found some other people, and then they ended up getting everything out, and everything is good. And as we're, like, getting gas stuff, so, you know, Master came up, he's like, you know, after everything that happened today, you know, I just want to say I'm sorry, you know, I shouldn't have did that. I understand if you want to leave. I was like, you know, yeah. I'm like, I don't accept this apology. But in the moment, you know, I was like, you know, it does take a lot to apologize. I told him that. And then I told him, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to leave. I wasn't going to leave yet. I was just going to, when I did leave, I wasn't going to tell him. And it was going to be a huge surprise and a big thing. But But yeah, after that, I was like, all right, whatever. So I messaged one of the admins for the group, and I was like, yeah, how about you, you know, me and Sean, you know, everything's good. Just add me back. And then rest of the tour, everything was fine. It was a very awkward ride home because I was just going to – I was talking to Larry. I was going to ask if he wanted to split a car, rent a car, or I was just going to fly out because I didn't want to – because we had to stop at Sean's mom and spend the night and – those dogs piss all over the carpet and all over the couches and stuff. I did not want to be there. It was not fun. So like that night, I actually just stayed in the truck and smoked weed all night long. And then, but what sucked is, you know, there was a lot of space in the vehicle and my ankle was killing me. So like, it wasn't until I think like 8 hours left in the drive, I asked like sit in front. There was a bit, he made a bit of a deal about it, but I was like, bro, I'm fucking hurt. Like, I just need the room. And then he's like, oh, fine, whatever. And then it's also, all right, man. Because I talked to Larry, and Larry's the vet. I was like, do you mind? And he's like, I don't care. Go, like, sit in the front. Like, go ahead. Like, Larry was very, you know, he was very supportive and wanted me to, like, my foot to be better.
Yeah.
He even left out of the truck that we were in just so I could put my foot up on the other seats. But then somebody else ended up moving in.
Like, every time I see him and he's sharing the locker room, it makes me very happy.
Oh man, he's a great spirit, man. He's whenever things are down, like he'll crack a joke. You're just like, God damn it! Like you'll just, having him on tour, it was great. No, because like I said, the key is that for his morality. There's also Bobby Shink was on tour. He was very chill and very hilarious as well.
So
it was a very good tour.
So once you guys got back to Edmonton, then what happened?
Yeah. So I took 2 weeks off because my ankle. I wasn't gonna practice. Actually, Squigs wanted me to do some RCW shows. I told him, I was like, I can barely walk. I'm not doing a match, bro.
Yeah.
And then when I did, so it was about two and a half weeks because it was we got back on the weekend. It was on a Wednesday. When I went, I was going to go to practice. So I put in a group. I was like, you know, hey, guys, I can't get a ride to practice. If anybody can pick me up, I got gas money. Here's my address, blah, blah, blah. Please and thank you. Mm-hmm. And I've done it before, so everything is fine. About 30 minutes later, Massive has one of the students message me. And he's like, hey, bro, I hate to do this, but Massive just told me to tell you that you're not welcome back at MPW, and that he's mad at me for adding you back into the group, into the Facebook group. You know, I'm really sorry to tell you this, and like, you know, I feel bad. I just told him, I was like, you know, listen, you have nothing to apologize. You know, Massive wasn't, you know, he obviously didn't have the balls to tell me himself. He took the coward's way out and had one of the students that works the hardest and will do whatever he wants because he's that type of guy that he'll go above and beyond. And it's like, you know, he'll help the boss out and he'll fucking do his thing. He's easily one of the hardest workers there. He's first one at camp, last one to leave. I've never been to practice and not seen him. Ring crew, he's out there, he's busting his butt. So that he had him do it. And I lost all my respect for Massive for everything that happened on tour. And then the fact that he couldn't be a man and just message me, hey, you're fired, I'm done with you. I would have respected that, but he took his little coward way out, had this worker message me. I told him, I was like, all right, well, you know, thank you for everything, you know, that we've done. I really hope I get to see you and work with you another time. Never apologize, you know, because you're not the wrong here. You know, he put you in this position and, you know, I'm sorry you have to deal with this. And I really hope all the workers do great. I waited until I knew he would be on the road to put my goodbye message. I put my goodbye message in the worker page at 9:08 because I knew he at least practiced at 9, so then he would be on the road. So I put my goodbyes up there. And then it was within a half hour of me getting released, I contacted Squigs and I got hired. I wasn't stressed about it because I was like, I planned to leave anyways, and I was like, yeah, you know. And it's hilarious because, like, all this happened while I was on the toilet taking the dump. I got fired and rehired or fired and hired before I even wet my own ass. It was so quick. It was like boom, boom. I was like, all right, it happens. I was like, what the hell? It was the most confusing poop I've ever taken. Like there was, I was like, what is going on? This is, my whole life just changed.
That is a heck of a story, brother. I asked you, why did you leave MPW? And I was expecting you to give me like, oh, I had irreconcilable differences with the promoter. But now, like, we've gone 50 minutes, and a good 45 of that was spent on,
I'd love to find a quick way to tell people this, because every time I meet someone in the locker room and then they're like, oh, so I heard you used to work there. I was like, yeah, like, why'd you leave? How much time you got, brother? Like, I just got to break it down. All right, this happened, led to this, which led, because it's not just the one thing that stopped. It was just the whole continuations, because it's one thing that, you know, if you, there's certain people at MPW that, for some reason, they can never be in the wrong. You know, there's like this weird Adams family that Massive Damage has, where it's this odd family. It's like, yeah, like I said before, I'm, you know, I'm not trying to bury anybody, but at the same time, I'm not gonna make anyone else be a saint when they're not a saint.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean, I so, just like I have to make it clear from my perspective.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
like the views expressed here by KB6 are his views, and you know,
and not yours. They're not yours. Mine. He's, you know, never even hung out, met the girl.
No, I haven't met. I haven't. I don't think I've met Phoenix. And the most I've ever met Massive Damage was like shaking his hand once and saying, hi, I'm Kyle. And yeah, so I don't know these people and whatnot. Yeah. And I do want to say that if you're listening to this, please like don't think that Brandon's poor experience is a reflection of MPW. Like, go there, watch their show. Like, they've got some great entertainers there.
They have some great workers.
It's a very quality product and worth the value that you'll pay for your ticket. So,
they have, like, with MPW, I don't have a problem with the workers.
Yeah,
it's just the one guy up top. That's it.
Yeah,
and you know, everyone in the locker room, they're always great guys. They're very supportive. You know, again, you know, there's a random asshole or two, but you're finding that everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. Like, you have to think, like, there was a lot of people that sort of migrated away from there in the last year, you know.
Yeah,
Irish, yeah. Parrish went back, but, you know, there was you, Nate. You know,
Kato.
Yeah, Kato,
Shawn Martins,
Kevin the ref, like a lot of people, Ben the ref.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and this is not to disparage MPW at all, but I do kind of see them as sort of like the farm league to the rest of Alberta wrestling.
They are a great starting spot. Yeah. I'll say that, like, if you're, you know, if you have no idea,
and I don't say that to insult them at all, and they do have some amazing pros there, like Mitch and Rich, you know,
and Larry
and those guys, like
T.Y. Jackson,
for sure.
Like, they have some great workers there.
Yeah,
100%, very talented locker room. The locker room, they have nothing but my respect. Mm-hmm. And if you guys listening, I always respect you. Guys, always you put 100%, man. Y'all kick ass. No hate on you guys at all.
So with you coming and jumping over to RCW, and can you describe like the feeling of like being a part of our locker room, and like was it a refreshing experience? Or
I will say I was extremely nervous the first two times when I first went to the Calgary and the first time going into Edmonton. I was so nervous. I didn't know how people were, because I've been in the RCW locker room when I was at MPW a couple times, but I was there with other MPW guys. So, like, going in new promotion by yourself, I was like, this is... But then it was, like, maybe 5-10 minutes in, I was like, I felt very comfortable, because just everyone I was meeting, I was like, you know, everyone's... They're cool people. They're chill people. Like,
who did you can go wrestle in your RCW debut?
In my first one, my very first RCW match would be Heavy Metal.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I mean,
and that would
that's January. That's a good person to start with.
Yeah, that was that was one of the biggest milestones that in my career, even still today. It was the first time coming in, working at a promotion with somebody I've never worked before. Like, I've seen a couple of these things here and there. Mm-hmm. It was a title match. I was main event. I was like, this is a town I've never been in. I never even heard Radway before.
Yeah.
And I was, oh, wait, actually, no, my first match was in Pinoca. Shit. But it was with an MPW worker. So I don't really want to count that because it's like, eh.
Okay.
But the one where I would say, like, you know, first time wrestling an RCW wrestler, like, that would be against Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
And then after that, in Calgary, being officially part of the roster, I was in a sixth man with Cheetah Bear and who was
Maverick Jack in that? And
We fought Maverick Jack, Katie, and Shawn Martins. Yeah, yeah, Katie and Paige. Yeah, we fought. Yeah, so sixth man,
six person.
And then the next night, I was in a tag with Marky versus Son of Irish and Knight. I can't remember. Well, I can't remember. Chris Knight or something like that.
His name's just Knight.
Just Knight? Okay.
Yeah. Well, not just, like, his name is Knight.
Oh, okay.
Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I wrestled them. And from after that match, like, we went into lockdown after, like, our first lockdown. But, like, I was very comfortable. I was very happy to be here. Like, I never, like, it didn't feel like a step down or anything like that. Or I was just thrown into the mix and just some random guy who's be some jobber. Like, I came in. I was able to come in. I felt like I proved to be, like, you know, I can work with the guys there. Like, I feel like I can work with at least half the locker room, go in there and put on phenomenal matches. Great people and very welcoming. Like, I never felt like an outcast.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, just as somebody that's, like, been in RCW pretty much, like, my whole career, like, when you came in, like, I've never ever had an issue with you being unprofessional or a dickhead or anything like that. You've always been of the utmost, like, cool to me. So, like,
oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I always try to put out that vibe and everything and just be really good to people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like,
if you want to get respect, you got to give it, right?
100%. And, like, I mean, another thing, me and you have almost wrestled.
Like four times.
and the thing is, most of the time, every time we hear, oh, tonight you and KB6 are wrestling in a triple threat match with Kato, this has happened at least like two or three times on shows. And then one of us gets moved off, or usually I get moved into another match.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
All three always get moved into something else.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully one day when the shows resume, we'll. Me and you and Cato will get to hook up in that three-way, because I do think it'd be a good match.
That would
be
good. You know, it'll be very interesting. We all have different styles.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're all sort of like fan favorites too. So
yeah, that'd be a nice big baby face match.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really fun.
Yeah. So let me ask you. I know we have surpassed the hour mark here, but we spent a lot of time on why you left MPW.
Yeah,
so
I'm bad on that.
But I do want to just touch on, like, who are your top three guys that you are yet to face in RCW that you want to hook up with before the
that I have end not faced.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan Stone, I haven't worked him yet, so that's going to be one. Vince Austin, I've never wrestled him.
Oh, Vince Austin is fantastic.
I'll work with him. Who else? I'm trying to think. I think those might be the only ones I haven't worked.
Have you worked Slammer?
I have worked Slammer. I have.
Slammer's awesome.
I messed up my shoulder in that match.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not to his fault or anything that. It was just one of those freak accidents kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's the nature of our business.
Have you had a chance to work with Steve Rivers?
No, that would be him. Yes, Steve Rivers, Vince Austin, and Dylan Stone. Those are the only three I can think that I have not worked yet.
Well, I think those would all be fantastic.
Aside from you.
Yeah, and me. I'd like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to wrestle you as well. It'd be fun.
That would be.
I mean, we train together sometimes.
Yeah, so like, you know, we're familiar with each other and go out there, put on, it'd be a great match.
Yeah, competition, you know?
Exactly.
Friendly competition is always good. Alrighty, well, Brennan, I want to, or excuse me, KB6. You are, of course, I should say, like, you're called KB6 because you're King Brandon from the Six, right?
So no, King Bright of the Six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go with the last name, but yeah, it's fine.
Okay, I thought you were King Brandon from the Six, like, it was a Toronto thing or something. Don't they call Toronto the Six?
Oh, yeah, that part is. Oh, it's okay. Just, you know, you just mess up with the B. That's all good, though. Brandon Bright, you know, either one works.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me here on Monday Night Shaw and reminiscing and truly explaining why sometimes those Northern Hell tours are adamantly named.
Yep.
And, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I look forward
to... Thank you for having me.
Bigger and brighter things in your future, Brandon, because you're KB6. I'm sorry I keep using your real name,
it's
boss.
It's fine, my man.
But I just want to thank you for coming on again, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Do you have any social media plugs you want to get out there? Let the folks know about your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you got.
Instagram is K_B_6. My TikTok and my Twitter is King6Bright.
Awesome possum. Okie dokie, folks. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Monday Night Shaw. It's been a while coming. I've been wanting to get this done with KB6 for some time, and now it's in the books. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Nova Scotia and the Brunswick.